Amen. Thank you all. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for forgiveness of sins. We thank you for your grace and your mercy and your kindness to us. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have together at the middle of this week. And Lord, we bring all of our thoughts and we bring all of our troubles and joys and victories and sadness to you tonight. And we seek to ask you to help us to focus and understand your word as we come together. What a special time and what a privilege it is each time we have the opportunity to open the word of God together and to have fellowship around the word. What a special privilege it is for us. And so tonight, I pray that you might help us to understand what you have for us from the book of Acts. We thank you for these early days of the church, which teach us so much about the work of the Holy Spirit and the importance of preaching and teaching the word of God to every generation that comes. May we be faithful to do that here at First Baptist Church, and may we honor you and glorify you by all that we do. May you be pleased with what we are doing here. And so, Lord, we thank you for this time together now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, good evening. Good to see all of you. If you have your Bibles, we're in Acts chapter 11 tonight, and I hope you picked up a copy of the outline on your way in tonight. And it's good to see all of you. We've been studying the book of Acts, and can you, Bill, can you turn this up a little bit? Yeah, can you? Just a little bit more. We've been studying through the book of Acts, and those of you who haven't been with us, there's a number of things, and I won't go back through. Oh, thank you, Bill, for all of those things. But what we're looking at, what we're doing as we go through the book of Acts is, of course, the story of the church as the church grew and developed all across the world based on what Jesus said for the church to go and do. And so let me remind us all again of the driving assignment, the goal, the command of the Lord. What does the Lord say? Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in Judea, Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. So look at that geography. The call is for the church and for us to this very day to be the Lord's witnesses, and to starting in Jerusalem is where they were, because that's where the Holy Spirit of God came in the book of Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon these apostles. They preached in the languages of all the people who had come for the great festival, and many were saved that day. 3,000 plus were saved. And so you have Jerusalem, and then you have Judea, Samaria, and the remotest parts of the earth. So we've been watching, we've been looking at the preaching of Peter, the preaching of the other apostles in these early chapters, and then we even saw the preaching of the deacons that were established in chapter 6. You have the deacons who were assigned by the church to do serving and caring for the needs of the people, physical needs, but they also were filled with the Holy Spirit and were great preachers. And then we have the first martyr in the church in chapter 7, who sadly Stephen was killed. And then the persecution started to go up. Philip preaches in chapter 8 to Samaria as he goes out preaching, another deacon. And then we have Paul, who is saved. And we have an Ethiopian who receives Christ from Africa, and in chapter 8. And so you already have this picture of how the gospel is being spread throughout the world, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. Then you have the conversion of Paul the Apostle in these days called Saul. Saul's Jewish name is Saul. His Gentile name is Paul. And so over time, he took the name Paul more than Saul because he was the apostle to the Gentiles. So we have Saul who begins to preach in chapter 9. And we read these words and we have these summary statements through the book. In verse, let me just take you to chapter 9, verse 31. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it continued to increase. Notice the geographical expanse. Judea would include Jerusalem. All Judea, all Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed peace, and there were churches. People had been saved, and there were churches, just like our church here, local churches, that begin to be developed. So we've looked at all of many different themes from the preaching of the apostles that we preach today. And so when I preach to this church, I preach in the same way. We call it apostolic preaching. We preach those themes and truths which the Lord gave to the apostles. And then my duty and responsibility as a preacher is to preach those same themes in the 21st century, I guess we are now. Then we came to this amazing story of Peter's ministry among the Gentiles. And we saw this last week or 2 weeks ago in detail. And we saw the vision of Cornelius, the Roman soldier. He called for Peter, and Peter, and this is back now in Acts 10:34. We read this in detail and looked at this. This was Peter's sermon to these Gentiles, and they were saved. And so we focused on verse 42, and he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. And of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name, here it is, Acts 10:43, through his name everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. So then we come, so the Holy Spirit comes upon these Gentiles. The report is given then to all of the leaders in Jerusalem. They have their discussion about it, and they recognize, and their conclusion after they have their discussion about now how God has come and saved Gentiles and the Holy Spirit has come upon them. Now we go to Acts 11:18. When they heard this, this is Peter's testimony about what happened, how the Holy Spirit came on these people as they believed in the Lord at Cornelius' house. When they heard this, they quieted down and they said, well, God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life. That's a way of describing salvation. Salvation is the repentance that leads to life. We turn from our sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we experience eternal life. Now we come to the section I want to focus on tonight. Tonight I want to talk about the importance not of preaching of the Word of God, but teaching the Word of God. And you're here tonight, and we have people, we have teachers all over the building teaching tonight, all ages, boys and girls, and students and adults in all kinds of groups. So we are about teaching the Word of God. So tonight we honor, and I want to honor, the teaching of the Word of God. Not just the preaching of the Word of God, the teaching of the Word of God. So before we go into this, I have on your sheet there a reminder of what the Lord told us that is our job to go and do. What is it that He said to us? Matthew 28:19-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And here's the phrase for tonight. Teaching them. Teaching these disciples of all nations. So that means in all their languages, with all their backgrounds, wherever they are in the world, whatever their conditions, rich or poor, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Well, let me read these verses tonight, and then our focus verse will be verse 26. So then, those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch. Sometimes it's good to take your Bible and go to your maps in the back, because you'll have the description of where these places are, and you can see geographically what Luke is talking about as he's giving us this. now they're moving further and further into the Gentile world. So they made their way to Phoenicia. So notice those that were scattered by persecution in connection with Stephen, they made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word. That is, they were preaching the Lord Jesus and believing in the Lord Jesus, repenting of sins and being saved. This group was speaking to no one except to Jews alone. So one group of Christians, Jewish Christians who were scattered, they continued to preach the gospel to the Jews in all of these Gentile regions of the world. But there were some of them who were from Cyprus, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch, which is a major city in that area, and began speaking to the Greeks, also preaching the Lord Jesus. So here we have both preaching to the Jews going on with some group of the Christians and preaching to the Gentiles, the Greeks, going on at the same time. So there's a preaching to all kinds of people in all kinds of places. That's what the church is doing even today. Preaching to people with all kinds of backgrounds in all kinds of ways, preaching the gospel. Same thing's happening in our day. And the hand of the Lord was with them, 21. And a large number who believed turned to the Lord. Another one of those great summary statements we'll come back to in just a moment. The news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. Oh, how special Barnabas has been. Barnabas, who earlier on in this wonderful book, we find Barnabas, this man who gave his land and was so generous. Barnabas, who was the son of encouragement, that was his nickname given by the apostles. Barnabas goes and he finds Paul and encourages Paul as a new Christian. Barnabas brings Paul to the apostles, introduces them to the apostles so they wouldn't be afraid of him. And so Barnabas has become, he was a preacher himself, a teacher of the Word of God, as we'll see. So now they send Barnabas. They send Barnabas to Antioch. Off to Antioch you go, 11:22. Then, when Barnabas arrived, he witnessed the grace of God. What a great way to describe salvation in people's lives. It is witnessing the grace of God in someone's life. He rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. Notice again, verse 21, a large number who believed turned to the Lord. And again, considerable numbers, 24, were brought to the Lord. And he left for Tarshish to look for Saul. So the work was great. Barnabas is looking for a helper. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And this is our focus tonight. This phrase, and for an entire year they met with the church and taught considerable numbers, a lot of people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. So we go back to this phrase, and for an entire year they met with the church and taught considerable numbers. Now remember, Dr. Luke, who was the companion of Paul the Apostle, not only wrote the Gospel of Luke, but he also gives us here, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the book of Acts. And what we appreciate about Dr. Luke is, as a doctor, he brings us details that sometimes we overlook. And it's important, as you read your Bible, to read all of it and to read it carefully and pay attention to all the words, all the phrases, and all the details. Every word matters. And so Luke gives us some signals in these words that are very important, I think, for us. First, again, let me go back and point out the multiplication of disciples. This growing number, we're far, far beyond the 3,000 in Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost. There have been thousands upon thousands, no exaggeration. If you're just trying to add, and I I thought about putting in the addition of all of these numbers, but nevertheless, great numbers of people, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. So now there's a growing group of individuals, men and women, who have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and been saved. Primarily, first, Jewish. These Jewish believers, they were saved. Then they were scattered. And though they did not know a lot about the Lord Jesus, this is why some of us say, well, you know, I don't know enough about the Lord and the Bible to tell someone about Jesus. They didn't even have a Bible. These Jewish people had their Old Testament, and they were taught the truths about the Messiah, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was no New Testament yet. There's barely any apostolic preaching yet, very little teaching. And as they were scattered, what did they do? They went and did one thing that all of us in this room can do. They went and shared their testimony. They shared basically, here's how I heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's how I repented of my sin and my sinfulness. And here's how I'm different. I've been saved today. That's it. Talking about that is possible for every one of us in this room. It is the obligation and responsibility of all of us who are believers to do that wherever we go. So we have this great example from the persecution of these early Jewish believers that literally thousands upon thousands have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. They've been baptized as believers, and they are filled with the Holy Spirit. The same as what we talk about today. The same. First, we repent and we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and we're saved. And then the Holy Spirit of God comes to dwell inside of us, to fill us, to gift us, and to bless us, and to use us. And then baptism, stating we're fully committed to be a follower of Jesus as a disciple, believer's baptism. So this multiplication is going on. Verse 19 again. They were scattered because of the persecution, but they preached to the Jews. Verse 20, they were preaching to the Greeks. And then the hand of the Lord was with them. Notice that. Please notice that. The hand of the Lord. What does the Lord do when we share about the Lord Jesus, even when we feel inadequate? The hand of the Lord is on us. God's hands, God's help, His grace, His mercy, His work. That's what's the description of the hand of the Lord. The hand of the Lord was with them. That's what we want at First Baptist Church to be true in our ministry life. And when do we know that the hand of the Lord is with us? When we honor and preach the Lord Jesus Christ. Buried, crucified, buried, raised from the dead, ascending and coming again, when we honor the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord honored these who preached, and large numbers of people for the first time were hearing about the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we find this call on Barnabas. I've just given you on the first part of your outline, I've gone through and outlined what I've just read to you. Barnabas, now we're introduced to Barnabas not only as an encourager, but as a teacher of the Word of God. And some of you in this room have been gifted and blessed to be teachers of the Word of God, not everyone. And so tonight we honor the teaching ministry in the church through thinking about this, the teaching ministry of the church. So he was a teacher. Notice he first of all witnessed God's work around him. In verse 23, he got there, he didn't know these people. They were strangers to him in Antioch, but he rejoiced. He saw the work of God in their life. There's nothing that's more of a blessing than to see changed lives, to see people who have believed in the Lord Jesus, been saved, and to witness it. You don't have to know them well, but you see in their life such a difference and the power of God. And so here we see it. He arrived and he witnesses the grace of God. So he rejoices. He rejoices at God's work of salvation among these Gentiles in Antioch. And then he begins to do what he does best. By the way, isn't it interesting? 11:23, the son of encouragement, Barnabas, begins to encourage. Isn't that good? You say, what can I do to help somebody who's a new Christian? Or what do I do to help my friends who follow the Lord? Well, you can encourage them. You can give them a kind word. You can speak to them. You can encourage them. Encourage them in their walk with God. Encourage them in how to pray. Encourage them in how to read their Bible. Encourage them to come and be at church, to be in worship. You encourage them. So he began to. So what's the first thing that he does? Before he even begins to teach, he encourages them all. And notice, he encourages them that with resolute heart, a strong heart, a settled heart, to remain true to the Lord. What did these Greeks know? What did they understand about the Old Testament? What did they knew very little. They only knew now the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, as I've just described it, the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, raised from the dead. The gospel. That's what they knew. And they believed in the Lord, and the Holy Spirit of God came and did a work in their life. Sometimes we think that you have to have a lot of information to be saved. Well, we learn in the book of Acts, it's not a lot of information, it's just the right information. It's the information about the Lord Jesus and who he is. In fact, let me point out to you while I'm doing this, it is important to drive this nail home a little bit. We're reminded in the Word of God, Paul says that he delivered, let me just read 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. When Paul was describing his preaching to the Corinthians, when he went to their town, he says, I delivered to you as of first importance, this is the most important thing, he says, that I received. I'm going to tell you what I received, what I was taught, that is of first importance. What is it? Verse 3, Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, number one. Number two, he was buried. Number three, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. And that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12, and then he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom are still alive. And then he appeared to James and all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me. But notice, here's what's of first importance. What does it take to become a believer? What is it that, what is the essential? What is the preaching of the gospel? And the preaching of the gospel is this, that Christ died for our sins. Oh, on Sunday mornings, we've been talking about this, about being saved, saved, saved. We talked about it Sunday morning, having to do with the forgiveness of sin debt. Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried. He was dead. He didn't just pass out. He didn't just go to sleep for a while. He wasn't hidden away. He was buried. He was buried. He died. And then as we read Paul say, he was buried and he was raised on the third day. Raised from the dead according to the Scriptures. And then his appearances. So I'm saying all this to say that as Barnabas comes, he begins with these people and reminds them, first of all, stay true to the Lord. And I would say to all of you tonight, no matter who you are, stay true to the Lord. Stay true to the Lord. Stay true. Be faithful to the Lord. Be faithful when it's easy. Be faithful when it's hard. Be faithful in your sufferings. Be faithful in your sickness. Stay true to the Lord when you're sick. Stay true to the Lord when you're well. Stay true to the Lord when you're young. Stay true to the Lord when you're old. Stay true to the Lord. Tonight, ask yourself in your heart as we sit here, am I being true to the Lord? Am I living in such a way that God knows the honesty, there's a transparency in my heart, I truly have a real relationship with him, and it's growing. Stay true to the Lord. That was his first challenge to them. Have a resolute heart. Don't be moving all around with your heart. Don't be back and forth. Be strong, be settled, and remain true to the Lord. Then we see the character of this teacher. Now, perhaps at this point I should pause and say, some of you have been the beneficiaries of great teachers in your life. Now, they may not have looked like much or acted like much, but God sent them into your life. I'm talking about Bible teachers in your life. And you should thank God for every single one of them. I hope you hear me. You should thank God for every single Bible teacher God has placed in your life. However many there have been, wherever you've been, through all the seasons of your life. Every one of them have their purpose in your life for a season. You might look back at some of them and say, well, you know, they'd be a little out of fashion and out of date today. Well, go look in your closet. Most of what you have in there is out of season, out of date anyway. You're probably a little out of date too. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to say that. But you see, those teachers came into your life at a key time, didn't they? They did in my life. I can name some of them. I can remember them. I'm grateful for their time, their attention, their teaching ministry. This is very important now, what I say to you, because this is how the church grows deep, becomes like Christ, and develops into a strong, gospel-centered church. Teaching. Preaching and teaching. Preaching and teaching. And they're not the same, as I've shared with you before. Preaching has, yes, elements of teaching in it, but it exhorts. It's to stir the heart and mind. Teaching focuses upon informing the mind and then warming the heart. It's a little bit different. And so each matter. So now we look at this beautiful, beautiful effect of teaching. So what do we have? Well, we have this man. He was a good man. Barnabas was a good man. The teachers in my life have been good people. They've been full of the Holy Spirit, and I'm grateful. And they've been full of faith. And again, considerable numbers were brought to the Lord, even while Barnabas is there. The results of it, they just keep coming. So Barnabas goes to find Paul to help him. Paul's already developed his own reputation. He's been preaching. He's been teaching. And so now he goes to Tarsus and he finds him, and they come back, and notice, for an entire year they met with the church and taught considerable numbers. So I want you to see here that they spent a year. The description, they were there for an entire year. This is the detail of Luke that's very important. I'll come to it in just a moment. They taught considerable numbers of people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. They deepened and grew. They weren't first called Christians in Jerusalem. They were not called Christians in Jerusalem first. That's a very important thing for you to remember. They were first called Christians in Gentile Antioch. The power of this church is unbelievable. They had many great preachers and teachers in this church. In fact, in chapter 13 of Acts, we read that there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius, Cyrene, Manian. It was brought up with Herod, and of course Saul was there. Great teachers. Great teachers. This was the church that listened to the Holy Spirit. And as you read in chapter 13, I'm not going to go there for now and spend time, but this is the missionary sending church. It was the Gentile church sending missionaries even beyond, sending Paul and Barnabas to plant churches all over the Gentile world. I want to start here by talking about the truth-planting ministry of teaching God's Word. So what is it? So from here on out, I want to now depart and focus on some of the essentials and importance of why is Bible teaching important in the church? I'm going to be disciplined to not chase rabbits tonight. So some would say, well, I go to church and we want to get together and have a potluck. Church was not made for having potlucks. You know what a potluck is? What do you call it now? I don't know what you, somebody help me. What do you call it? You know, when everybody gets their food together, whatever it is. Shared plate thing. Stuart, what do they call it? Huh? Add a dish. It's not church. We're not here to add a dish. You can go up there to Shoney's. They got a much better bar up there as you can go get all that food around. It's a lot fresher. Well, we just want to go to church to be with our friends. It's a club. That's why we're up here. Be with our friends. Well, the church has got, we got to go out and we got to help people in this community. We got to go out here and do ministry works. We got to do works out here. The church is assigned the responsibility by the Lord to teach and to preach. These get sidelined, marginalized. Teaching. And some of you are where you are in your spiritual life, as I said before, because you've had some teachers who have planted and watered and shared what I call here truth planting in your life for many years. Now, when Stuart comes over to my house, and I have my grass is green right now. I got rye grass right now. Nobody else has it, but you need to come mow anyway, by the way. It's getting big high. When he comes to put rye grass out there, he does it by just throwing the seed out. He just throws it out. Sometimes he uses a distributor. Sometimes he just takes it, throws it out. Some of the areas he uses the distributor, and then he throws it over here. I'm making a point about teaching is methodical. Teaching is seed sowing. What did the Lord tell us, dear people? The sower went out to sow seed, Luke 8:5. And the seed, Luke 8:11, is the Word of God. I've got it here tonight. I got my bag of seed right here. I'm not up here to read from a book. I'm not up here to give you some current event or talk to you about the United States government. Are you kidding me? Let's go to the house if we're going to do that. I've got the seed bag right here. And it's got good seed in it. And if you receive the seed, you'll be different. But if you have hard hearts, or if you let the old devil get in and do what he does, it has no effect. You see, teaching is seed sowing, and it falls in all kinds of places. I'm not one bit concerned about how you respond to what I say tonight. I'm concerned that I say what I'm supposed to say according to the Word of God. It's God's business whether you receive it and it grows. But you see, this takes time. Why do we have all the children in here teaching them the Word of God? Ken's not back here. I talk to him as the pastor of this church. We're not back here entertaining kids. We're back here teaching them the truths of the Word of God. Tim, it's not entertainment over there. It's about teaching the Word of God. Bible studies, people say, well, y'all have a lot of Bible studies up there. Yes, bless God, and we need some more. It's teaching, it's seeding, it's sowing. The seed of the Word of God is heard and people respond in four ways as the Lord taught us in Luke 8. And what does James tell us in James 1:21? I've preached on this numerous times, even on Wednesday night. How do I come to receive the Word of God? If you didn't come tonight prepared to receive the Word of God, then you're not going to get anything out of it. This is just going to be an information lesson like you go get if you went to, you know, down there to have them try to con you into buying a timeshare in Florida or something. It's just information. Putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness in humility. See, that means you come in here and say, I don't know everything. I don't know everything. I'm ready to receive something from the Word of God. And if teachers are teachers of the Word of God, that's what they talk about, the Word of God. In humility, receive the word implanted. See, sown. It's sown. Preaching and teaching of the Word of God saves souls. Notice what James 1:21 says. It's on your paper there. Receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. 1 Corinthians 3:6. I planted, Apollos watered, God causes the growth. In my preaching and teaching, I'm not responsible for whether you grow. I'm responsible for delivering the message, giving it to you appropriately, clearly, effectively, as best I can. You're responsible for receiving it, and God brings the growth. I'm planting, maybe I'm watering. Planting, watering. Plant. For some of you, new seed you're hearing tonight. Some of you, it's water you need. That's what teachers are for, planting and watering. Now I want to talk to you for a moment about the staying time needed for teaching God's Word. You may have never seen these before. I'm going to give you something. I guarantee you there's nobody here that's ever seen what I'm going to give you tonight. I want to talk to you about how long somebody stays to teach the Word of God. I call it the staying time needed for teaching God's Word. Now, if I'm going to receive God's Word, I got to show up to receive it. Now, anymore, somebody, you know, people remind me all the time, because I'm not as up on this as I should be, that we have this, we have it on the Facebook and all these places where you can go out and listen to this, and I know all of our people can't be here. Being somewhere present, live, to hear the teaching of the Word of God, or the preaching of the Word of God, in my opinion, is the first choice, but when you can't, these others are okay. They should never take the place of being live to see what the teachers and preachers are doing. Their body, their expression, all of it matters. Peter stayed many days in Joppa with the tanner Simon. That's Acts 9:23. Wonder what he was doing there. Fishing? Having the tanner teach him how to fix leather? Doing leather goods? Well, you know that's not what he was doing. Peter was in, he stayed many days. Well, I wish Luke would have been a little bit more specific. He stayed many days. He stayed many days. Think about that. That's such a good, good thing. He stayed there. And this should be in your notes, not 9:23, but 9:43. Peter stayed many days in Joppa. Then they ask him to stay on for a few more days. What is that? That's, look what happened. What happened after Peter preached to Cornelius' house and all these people got saved? He ordered them to be baptized, and then they asked him to stay on a few days. What did he do? Just have some, now that he knows that he can eat anything, he's going to eat some good Gentile food? Is he just taking a tour? No. He's preaching and teaching. He's discipling. For an entire year, they met with the church. What was Paul and Barnabas doing? They were laboring to get as much truth to these people as they could. Acts 14:28, they spent a long time with the disciples. Acts 15:35, Paul and Barnabas stayed in Antioch. Again, they came back teaching and preaching with many others. Also, the word of the Lord. You see, here's what I notice. I've preached here now for a number of years, so there are people here that used to be here that are gone. Some have gone to be with the Lord. Some moved away, some left, went somewhere else, and others have come. It is the constant preaching to the generations, to the young people, to the children, to adults. It is teaching and preaching with many others. It wasn't just Paul and Barnabas. There was a whole gathering of teachers that God gave. He himself stayed in Asia for a while. What do you think Paul was doing in Asia? Going on a visit? Going on a vacation? Acts 21:7, we stayed with them for a day. I mean, Luke is so detailed about this. Acts 21:8, and entering the house of Philip the evangelist, who, by the way, was one of the first seven deacons, they stayed with him. Man, what an unbelievable experience that must have been. Paul and the others with Philip. We stayed there for 3 days, Acts 28:3. And Paul, what did he do? At the end of his life, before his head was chopped off, he stayed 2 full years in his own rented quarters. And look at this. Now, this is where I wanted to get to. And here's what they were doing. Here's what they were doing in all these places where they stayed. They stayed, and what did they do? Well, I'm really tired of being here. I've been here so long, I'm just sick of seeing all these people. Are you? He stayed preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning, notice, the Lord Jesus Christ. How? With all openness, unhindered. Now, he was locked into this house prison, house jail, with guards, but his preaching was unhindered and open. So what do? We teach in houses. We teach under the tree. We teach at the work. We teach at the church. We teach and preach the Word of God. This is our content. This is what we do. We teach the things that the Lord has commanded us to teach. The process of teaching the Word of God, as I've said, is a lifelong process. I gave you here 2 Timothy 4:2. Now, Paul's giving this to preachers like me, but it still has an effect and an importance even to teachers. Preach the Word. Teach the Word. That's what you're here to do if you're a teacher in this church. Some who will listen to this who aren't in here tonight, look, your job is to teach the Word of God, not give opinions from Dr. So-and-so. Preach the Word. People come to hear the Word of God. They're not interested in opinion. Preach the Word and do it when it's fashionable and when it's not. If I'm going to preach to 10 or to 2 or a million or 1,000, it doesn't matter. You preach whether it's whether people love it or whether they hate it. You preach and teach. This is what we do. It's a lifelong thing. It's planting. Look, if the Lord sends 4 in here and that's who I'm supposed to teach, we're going to plant seeds to the 4. If it's thousands, we plant the seed the same. Preach the Word in season, out of season. What do? You reprove, you rebuke, and you exhort. Some people aren't used to preaching. You know, some have come here and said, well, Pastor Mike, we're not quite used to how you preach. I don't know how to take that, but I don't really care. I mean, it's just that's what I am. Sometimes it's reproving. Sometimes it's rebuking. Sometimes it's exhorting. But you do it how? You do it patiently. And notice what Paul says there. I've given you the verse, instructing. You instruct. We instruct. Teach God's Word, save souls. Teaching is a team sport. Ephesians 4:11. God gave some in the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Teaching God's Word equips God's people for service, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service. You see, this is why we do what we do here. Someone says, why are you going up there on Wednesday night to study the Bible? Well, you need to be able to answer that question. If you ask me why we're up here teaching the Bible, it's so that you will be equipped to do the work God's called you to do as God's people. Teaching God's Word produces new teachers. He said, this is what I believe is at the heart. Listen, if a teacher doesn't do this in their teaching ministry, they failed to do their teaching completely. Here it is. Teachers find the next generation of teachers, and they teach them so they can teach others. That's what the early church did. What do you think they're all doing here? Here's what they're doing. The things which you have heard in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. The teacher teaches, and you find one who's teachable, who has the gift of teaching, and you teach them to teach, and they teach. You teach them to teach. You teach them to teach. Some of our men this summer, we had them up here, and they were preaching. We told them to come preach. And they're teachers in our church. Some of them had a hard time with that. They figured out fast there's a difference between just preaching and teaching. Why do we do that? Well, we train our teachers and we send out preachers. When Todd takes people on mission trip, you go to be preachers and teachers of the Word of God. So teaching, I finish here with teaching the trustworthy statements of God. I've given you these just so you can go home and think about them. Paul gave us 5 trustworthy statements from God's Word. I love these. Trustworthy. Why do you teach the Word of God? Because it is trustworthy. You can trust these words. You can trust these words. That's why Paul calls them trustworthy statements. Notice 1 Timothy 1:15. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance. Here it is. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Anybody want to say amen to that? It is a trustworthy statement, talking about those who are called to be pastors, like myself. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, the words bishop, to pastor, it is a fine work he desires to do. So this Sunday night, we have one of our young men, Jeremiah Scott, who will be ordained to the preaching ministry. We had another that we ordained a few days back for preaching. So again, what is it? It's a trustworthy statement. If someone aspires to this office to be this, it's a fine work. A trustworthy statement. Here it is. Bodily discipline is of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things. It holds a promise for this life and the life to come. It's a trustworthy statement, though this is an important one. If we died with him, we shall also live with him. It is a trustworthy statement. Concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently so that those who have believed God will be careful to, notice, engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men. So tonight we honor the teaching ministry of the church. The truth planting, seed sowing, watering ministry that takes time. You teachers who are here, if you get aggravated with the people you teach, remember, it's time consuming to do this. It's not something automatic. We are teaching people the Word of God so that they might receive it and grow and become fully developed disciples of the Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Paul's and Barnabas' example. We thank you for the teachers in our church who have been faithful teachers of the Word of God to their group of people for years. We thank you for the faithful teachers that many of us that go through our minds as I talk about this right now, who blessed us at some part in our life, somewhere where we lived, with their faithfulness to teach the Word of God. We thank you for the seeds of truth that come from the Word of God, the trustworthy statements from the Word of God. May we settle in. May this church be known as a great preaching, teaching, mission, sending, telling church. May we be that kind of church that honors the Lord Jesus Christ in all that we say and do. And we pray that you would call out more teachers and more preachers for the advance of the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Good to see you all. Have a great week. Now run down to the Shoney's. You can get you some pie tonight before you go to bed. Have a good evening.